Hey, Norman, welcome to At the Hop with Kevin Bowles.
Kevin, it's my pleasure to be with you.
Norman, I am probably the youngest DJ you'll ever meet. I am 27 years old. I got the hottest oldie show on WATD.
That's terrific. We need youth. We need youth in our business.
Absolutely. I vow to keep the music alive.
Okay, it's your responsibility.
Absolutely. Hey, Norman, how did you get started with Norman Fox and the Rob Royce? How did you become lead singer of that group?
We, back in the early 50s, the mid-50s, I guess, we were all listening to the original doo-wop music, the great groups of the Channels and the Heartbeats and Chuck Berry and all of the great old singers that a guy named Alan Freed, who came out of Cleveland, Ohio, and came to New York, was a disc jockey, and he put them on the radio, and I guess I was about 15 or 16 at the time, and we listened to it insatiably. It was just the best. It was new music. It was our music. It was something that we enveloped, and we wanted to emulate the sounds of that music, and I was in high school at the time. So a lot of the guys in high school were forming groups, and there were a couple of other groups, and we decided to form a group. A friend of mine, two or three friends of mine, started to harmonize, and we harmonized in the bathroom because there was an echo there. And so little by little, through the process of elimination, we picked out the best voices. We formed a group with the group harmony, and they chose me to be the lead singer. And that's how the group started. We originally weren't called the Rob Royce, but that's where the group started. It was in high school, and we did, you know, assemblies and things of that nature, and we just mirrored the great groups. Even the Cleftones and people that are still performing were our idols, and those are the people that we emulated.
That's absolutely. How did you get on Backbeat Records with Tell Me Why?
It was an interesting story because one of the fellas in our group knew somebody who owned a record store down in the Bronx. We were all from the Bronx, and it was he knew this record store owner, and he prevailed upon him to see if he would listen to us and to see what he thought of our sound. And it was a small little record store. I think it was on 145th Street and 3rd Avenue. In those days, I think there was the 3rd Avenue L was still up. Anyway, we could hardly fit in the store, but we did. We sang for the man, and his name was Buddy Dunk. And he thought we were great. We were a mixed-race group. Two black guys, three white guys, and he knew these people from the Duke organization out of Houston, Texas, and he had them come up and listen to us as well. And when they did, they thought we were great, and they signed us.
That's amazing that they came all the way from Texas just to hear you guys. Is that correct?
Well, they didn't come all the way from Texas. They had representation in New York.
Okay.
Because don't forget, they did a lot of distributing through. It was part of the Duke organization, and it was a pretty big. They had some pretty big records back in the day. If you remember, Johnny Ace, Pledge My Love.
Absolutely.
And they did. They also did a lot of music on the Black Chitlin' Circuit.
Okay.
And so they were a prominent label. And they had representation, distribution representation in New York. And so what they did was to just send their New York representative up to see us.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
They also had on that Backbeat record the original Casuals, What's So Tough.
Yes, that's correct. You're right. And that was a great record as well.
Now, when Tell Me Why I was making it big, what did you do to promote that show? Did you do the Alan Freed shows, Dick Clark? How did you promote that record?
Well, we did Alan Freed. Alan Freed was actually my neighbor.
Really?
I never knew it, but he lived in my building in the Riverdale section of the Bronx. And probably because of the fact that, you know, I was a kid, of course, but I knew his daughter very well. We used to hang out together, and I was in his apartment many, many times. And he probably, because of that, gave me some spins, and he promoted it. Dick Clark never promoted it, but we were promoted mostly on the black radio station.
Really?
Jocko played it. Hal Jackson played it in huge, huge quantities. And then it was played in the Boston area. It was played in Philadelphia area, you know, the disc jockeys of the time.
I really admire people like Alan Freed, Murray the K, Dick Clark. What was Alan Freed like as a person? What was he kind of like as a person?
You know, he had tremendous, tremendous foresight. And I have nothing but respect for the man, because he was really the one who brought this music to the forefront. And he took a conglomeration of jazz, of all gospel music, and rhythm and blues, and he put it together, and this is what he played. And he brought all of this together in a new form of music, because before this, we were listening to classic pop. I mean, I was a kid, but it was my parents' music.
Oh, yeah, you see the music. It wasn't it like Sing Along with Mitch, Lawrence Welk, people like
correct.
That?
Absolutely. That's what it was. And so this was when this came along, this was the most exciting thing, because this was our music. And it was made up of many different things. Now, when Alan Freed, and a lot of people don't know this, when he had his shows at the Brooklyn Paramount Theater, he had a lot of major jazz people in those shows.
Really?
You know, he had Count Basie with the orchestra. He had Joe Williams singing. He had Sarah Vaughan. And he had a number of different, you know, great, great musicians. Sam the Man Taylor and the great, great musicians of the time in many different genres of music were represented in his shows.
Really? I'm learning something new tonight, Norman. He had jazz on his show, too? I thought it was just rock and roll.
He absolutely did. I went to many shows. I went to a number of shows where Basie was the band.
Wow.
And Basie was a jazz, you know, Basie was a jazz band. It was a major jazz band.
You're totally the first person to ever tell me that. I'm seeing like a whole nother side of Alan Freed right now. That's amazing. Norman,
he was terrific. He was absolutely terrific. And as a person, I didn't know him well, but it seems to me from where I sat that he was overwhelmed with his popularity.
Oh, I bet.
But again, he was a disc jockey, so he wasn't an entertainer. He was primarily a disc jockey, but the following became so great, so fast, that he couldn't keep up with it, and he was just, there wasn't enough hours in the day for him, and he was overwhelmed. That was the impression I got when I used to see him.
Because it's kind of an interesting story how he even got stopped. Didn't he suddenly get stopped in his tracks somehow from doing all that?
Well, he did. Don't forget, you know, in those days, he was taking money for playing records, and there was no question about that. He was actually, and in addition to doing that, so in that respect, I guess it was against the law.
Okay.
And the second thing was that he became, as a personality, too powerful. People were afraid of the original rock and roll. And incidentally, Kevin, he was the guy that coined the phrase rock and roll.
I've heard that before, yeah.
Yes. But they were afraid of him because he had too much power. And the following great, he had too much influence on younger people. So they, you know, in those days, you know, he became a dangerous commodity, I suppose, for a lot of people. And they undermined him.
It's always fascinating to look back at the 1950s and see how the controversies of rock and roll music and how people thought this was literally like devil's music compared to like
yeah,
music like
true.
Today. I mean, it's even worse. I mean, doo-wop is like nothing. It's beautiful. But yet it was like bad music in those days, you know?
Yes, you're right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I wonder what guys like Lawrence Welk and Mitch Miller thought of you guys back in the day, you know?
Well, I don't think that they thought very much of us, to be quite honest.
I don't think so either, man.
Yeah.
What were some of your other hits besides Tell Me Why, Norman?
Well, we did followed it up with the Dance Girl Dance, and in the and basically those were the two hits that we had. Now, there's a lot of obscure music that we did over the years that I sing at specific shows, and people who recognize and collect the music love it. But the big song that came out of the revival period that started in the 70s was a song called Dream Girl that was only released for 5 days along with Pizza Pie. It was the flip side of Pizza Pie, and it was a Capitol record. And that was the song, and today that's my most requested song.
Really?
Is Dream Girl. I mean, people, you know, it's people all over the world know the song, and I'm blown away by it. It never really had any substantial airplay or promotion. It's strictly word of mouth and strictly on its merits as a beautiful song, and people really love it.
Absolutely. That was a good show. I really enjoyed your performance at Lead East a few weeks ago. You did a good job.
Well, thank you so much. I love doing it, and I love performing, and I'm doing it more now than I have in the last few years because I find that it's tremendous, and I sort of retired from my business, so I have the time to do it, and we're working on it, and we do new stuff and new steps, and it's just a tremendous amount of fun. I love talking to the people and meeting them, and I love everything about the music.
I really think highly of Rob and Laura Alamese. I mean, those guys really took me under their wings. They saw the potential in me, and actually being an MC where meant so much to me, where basically in my own backyard at sometimes I wasn't even getting the time of day. It's amazing what they've done for me, you know?
Well, you know, they're terrific people, and they're very, very good friends of mine. And, it's basically their motto is all, it's about the music, and that's the way they feel.
Sure.
They're tremendous, tremendous fans, as well as good business people.
Because some of the guys I first started going to, some of these concerts, I mean, you try and get backstage. I mean, some of these people, some of these MCs, you know, they think they're the stars of the shows, and they were basically, you know, they were kind of not even giving me the time of day, so I started traveling, and I got lucky. I landed up on Rob and Alamese, and then they've really taken me under their wing. You know, they see the full potential in me, you know?
Well, that's terrific.
Absolutely.
Terrific. But you deserve it. You're good, and you're look, they also know that you're the one who's going to keep the music alive.
Absolutely.
And that's a very important thing, because when we, you know, when I travel around the country meeting the fans, all they want to know is that the music is going to be kept alive, that it's not going to die, that it is going to be here for generations to come. And we need people like you in order to perpetuate it.
I mean, I want to get so much bigger, you know. I'm kind of getting frustrated with that these days. I mean, I got an amazing audience right now on the station, but I mean, there's so many other places and avenues I'd like to take myself, you know. I'm just kind of waiting to get picked up by someone, you know.
Well, hopefully you will. We would
Absolutely.
Love to have you do that.
Definitely. Why don't we talk a little bit about Foxwoods? You're going to be at Foxwoods Resort and Casino Saturday, October 11th. What kind of songs do you think you're going to be playing there?
I'm going to be doing I'm going to be doing our traditional stuff. I'm going to be doing Tell Me Why. I'm going to be doing Dance Girl Dance. I'm going to be doing Dream Girl. I'm also going to be doing, a couple of the songs that I did that I got such a tremendous reaction to at Lead East. And one of them is American Pie. And, I love doing it, and the audience is just, love it.
The audience was so at awe with that song. That was magical, Norman, when you did that at Lead East. That was an amazing song you did.
Well, thanks so much. I love doing it. You know, it's a great part of our music. It's not necessarily the original doo-wop, but it has a tremendous history of the music, of that period of time of the 60s. And of course, it is written and it's about Buddy Holly, who is a product of the 50s. So it all comes together, and it's a song that I think is very important to keeping the music alive.
I'll just tell you this, Snowman. Three people in the music business, I would probably give my whole life, people I never had the opportunity to work with. Number one, Buddy Holly, Eddie Cochran, and Del Shann. I would so, just one day, just to be announced BMC with them, I would just be so at awe. They were just amazing people, man.
They sure were. They sure
amazing.
Were. The music has a great history, and I know that you really appreciate it. So it's my pleasure to talk to you about it.
Absolutely. So, what do you have a website or anything, Norman? What new CDs available or any new music?
Yeah, I have a new CD available, and people can call me. They can email me at my Rob Roy website, at my Rob Roy email address, and that is Norman. I'm sorry, N, as in Norman, FOX, Rob Roy. @gmail.com.
That's great. Hey, I am going to have to wrap up soon, Norman. I have to get back to some music, and I'm almost off the air. What one question I like to ask people, I wonder this a lot when I'm emceeing shows and backstage with you guys. What is it like 50 years later to still be singing some of these songs you sang 50 years ago? What's it like to be still a performer singing those same songs?
It's a thrill. They never get stale. The music is beautiful. It's from a different time when people appreciated great music, rhythm music, beautiful music, beautiful songs, love songs. And so the whole era gets wrapped up in when I'm singing and I'm on stage. It's timeless. And it takes you right back to where you were all of those years ago.
That's amazing, Norman. Hey, I look forward to Foxwoods, Norman. I would definitely see you there.
I look forward to seeing you, Kevin. Thanks so much for the interview.
Thanks for talking to us tonight.
All right, take care.
Bye. Bye.